So, you know, for each of us, Jesus will tell us what we need to hear.
And exactly. So, well, somebody heard something today. And certainly you and I have been challenged, even as we've been chatting together. The Holy Spirit is very faithful to challenge us. And friends, I want to urge you to get a copy of this just very, very fascinating book, Unfollowers, Unlikely Lessons on Faith from Those Who Doubted Jesus, $14, Save America Ministries. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 7087.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of a Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Waleed Shubat. And Waleed was a Palestinian terrorist who eventually converted to Christianity, and he has a ministry here in the United States talking about what's going on over there in the Near East, the Middle East. But he was recently on Phyllis Schlafly's program talking about what's going on in Syria and giving a graphic description of what's taking place. Now, as you know, certainly in Syria, we have a tragic situation. We have Assad's government, and Assad certainly has been the dictator there for a long time. He took over when his dad died. Assad is an ophthalmologist. I don't think he wanted the job, but the people there certainly wanted him to come. And so out of a sense of patriotism, he did. But, of course, basically you have an uprising against that government, and basically the United States is bringing in people from all over the world, financing them, training them, arming them, and terrible things are happening. And, of course, the group that is basically we are backing has an intense hatred of Israel, and basically, well, I'm going to let Waleed tell you what's going on. So why don't you go right ahead, Waleed, and give us the background of what's going on.
Well, the situation in Syria is basically changing a lot of the demography, the political demography of the region. We see lately that Turkey's incursion launching itself into Syria using terrorist groups as infantry. The goal by Turkey is, of course, to capture areas of the Syrian coast and to threaten Latakia and the ancient Armenian veterans in Kesab. We've seen this weeks ago, and suddenly turning the Armenians into refugees. But Syria had asked even aid from Iran, which Iran is basically silenced on condemning Turkey openly, which means that there is some sort of an Iranian-Turkish alliance, even though Iran favors Syria in this case, but it can lose the support of Turkey. If you recall, Davutoglu, the sidekick of Erdogan of Turkey, has been courting Iran for a while. And, of course, you have Turkey put on the altar of this sacrifice, if you will, to make that unity, you know, sacrifice Fethullah Gulen, the man from Pennsylvania, who basically runs the Gulenites. And that basically affected Erdogan's elections, although he won, as we predicted.
Could you explain to our listeners out there who the Gulenites are? Most of our people are not acquainted with that phrase, but they should be because he's one of the richest men in the world. I would quote, suggest that suddenly Waleed had been on Janet Parshall's show, not Phyllis Schlafly, but you go right ahead. Who are the Gulen? What part does he play in Turkish politics, and how is that influencing the unfolding of events?
Well, Fethullah Gulen is a major political and religious figure. He runs much of the movement in Turkey, within Turkey, from the U.S., that basically influences the police system, the judicial system. He has charter schools in the U.S. He's worth about $19 billion, and he's got tons of influence in Turkey. And so the showdown came between Erdogan, the prime minister of Turkey, and Fethullah Gulen, primarily in the issue of unity with Iran and other issues. And so there was a tape that was smuggled that shows the generals conspiring to enter into Syria. And, of course, Erdogan blamed Gulen for that conspiracy. And so they have a fracture within their political system.
I think it's important people understand the part that Gulen plays, and he is certainly would fit into the more or less the radical Islamic movement. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest is Wally Zubat, but we need to know what's going on there. It's a terrible tragedy.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 and ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Hold that thought. Well, this Dr. Stan, Wally is simply pointing out that there is a division in the Middle East that the Americans are trying to exploit, and that is a division between the Shia and the Sunni Muslim. And certainly Saudi Arabia is Sunni. And nominally, why at the present time Turkey is Sunni, but there are Shia elements there. And basically, of course, into what's happening in Syria is you're having a battle between the Sunni revolutionaries and the Assad Shia. So you've got the Sunnis on one side and the Shia on the other, and we are backing the Sunnis. And certainly the Russians and certainly Iran are backing the Shia element in Iran. But, of course, basically, Wallian feels that certainly we may very well, the United States, maybe begin putting a lot more emphasis on what's going on in Iran, and we may very well pull out of what's going on in Syria. And as he refers to, Syria could very well become toast. The situation over there could get completely out of hand. Would that be a fair appraisal of what you're feeling, Wallian?
Absolutely correct. Yes, it's a fair appraisal.
Okay, you go right ahead.
So, in fear of the little Satan, Iran, we basically support Turkey into this conclusion to Syria because it's a partner in NATO. But on the other hand, we got to look at the future. At the future, once Turkey arises as a mini superpower in the region, then it's part of NATO. Now, it will threaten Israel. And I believe, in fact, it was 2 decades ago I began to say that Turkey will turn on Israel. I was saying this when Israel and Turkey were allies, and everybody was laughing at me. Now no one's laughing. We've seen what Erdogan did in the flotilla, walking out on Perez in the Davos debate, and he's saying Jerusalem is the apple of the eye of every Muslim. He is talking about, you know, becoming a caliph and a sultan and the Ottoman Empire and neo-Ottomanism. By that, he is also spreading fear within Saudi Arabia. Now, the situation in Saudi Arabia is dire because the U.S. now has its fill with oil. We produce our own oil now, and we have less need for Saudi Arabia. Well, Saudi Arabia basically is the head of the snake that started Wahhabism. Now, eventually, Saudi Arabia will become isolated in time. In the next decade or so, you will see more isolation in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia these days is staggering like a drunkard. They are arresting anyone, including even Sunnis, who goes against the government policies. They had an openness of, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, and they were kind of, you know, opening the door for, you know, a little softness towards women and so on and so forth. But that's changing now. In fact, Reuters had a report just the other day talking about Saudi Arabia and how they are basically creating new laws, arresting even Sunnis, not just Shiites, even liberal Sunnis, no matter what. So Saudi Arabia is afraid because also in Jordan, neighboring country, okay, the Jordanian Air Force had to, you know, shoot at a bunch of terrorists. So the terrorism issue is, you know, infiltrating itself within Jordan. And they're afraid of the Saudi border. They're afraid of all borders, Lebanon, everywhere. And so Saudi Arabia is feeling itself isolated from the U.S. day by day. And now it's recognizing that in the region, its neighbor Iran is going to basically get the helm, you know, especially that Iraq is, the constituency there is majority Shia. So the one that's scared the most is Saudi Arabia. Now, I have no qualms about Saudi Arabia going to oblivion. I don't like the Saudi Arabian government or the country itself because of what it did to human rights and everything else. Saudi Arabia is the country that brought forth all this agenda anyway. And this is the country that spiritually drives even Turkey and every part of the Middle East because Islam sprouted from it. So we're going to see more and more in the future that Saudi Arabia will be isolated. And of course, Iran gained momentum when they made the deal with the U.S., Geneva, that they're going to continue their nuclear program. By that, they gained much success into basically entering into the new era, if you will. Of course, it, you know, watered down its cyber rattling against Israel. We don't have Ahmadinejad talking about Mahdi and Israel. We're going to wipe Israel out on the face of the map. So they're playing the game really well, and they are basically growing in influence. And all the projections by all the analysts regarding Turkey, if you recall, analysts were saying, you know, Erdogan isn't going to make it. He stopped Twitter. I knew better. And all the analysts were saying Iran is doomed and it's over for Iran. It's, you know, the blockade and so on and so forth. But the opposite is true. We've been saying for many years that Iran and Turkey is rising as the two mini superpowers in the region. And that makes a very dangerous combination because it is not uncommon for Shia and Sunni to unite. You have had that between Hezbollah, Shia in Lebanon, and Hamas, Sunni, in Gaza. Both were lobbing rockets at Israel. This small little pinnacle scenario between Hezbollah and Hamas, imagine what would happen if the unity in the future stems from Turkey, the second largest army in NATO, and Iran, God forbid they gain a nuke, because those people are very tricky. They tell you they're not going to build it, but they will. What would happen to the state of Israel? The problem is going to be a showdown. And of course, we all know that Israel doesn't have nukes, i.e. it does, in Dimona. It might unleash hell on these countries in a third world war. So it looks like the U.S. policies, what it's doing, it's really supporting. And the U.S. policy is really what created the rise of the Turks to spread its tentacles into Syria. By the way, they will spread their tentacles into Egypt. And because the Muslim Brotherhood is an ally of Turkey, many Americans don't understand the Muslim Brotherhood. If you look at the, you know, the basic concept of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is what? Is that the Ottoman Empire had a brood. The caliphate was removed. And that was the downing factor, is what unraveled the Ottoman Empire, unraveled the caliphate. This has to be fixed. So the Muslim Brotherhood and the Turks are very united in the same principle.
Could I just interrupt? Because I think many of our listeners may not understand the Ottoman Empire, but the Ottoman Empire was a major force over there in the Middle East from probably the 12th century on. It was the major force, and basically it really ruled that whole area. And it was gradually in decline. And then at the end of the First World War, while the Ottoman Empire, which covered most of the countries in the Middle East, simply crumbled, and the Allies, of course, divided that region up into a lot of unstable countries like Iraq that contained both Shia and Sunni and Kurds. Why did they do that? Because they wanted an unstable area. They didn't want stable countries over there. They wanted countries that would be unstable, and so much of that region of the world is unstable, and I think this was part of the plan. But it's going to have disastrous effects today, and of course, as Waleed is pointing out today, Iran and Iraq and Syria and Hezbollah in Lebanon are all aligned together. On one side is Hezbollah, and then, of course, the others are Sunni. Go right ahead.
That's a very good point, because there's nothing more the Turks want than an unstable region. Of course, that goes in correspondence to the U.S.'s policy. We had thought the U.S. policy was that they want to create elections in Syria, and they want to give democracy in Egypt and Syria and the entire region. But now we know better, because they're giving weapons to terrorists. Who is Daesh? Who is the ISIS? Who is al-Nusra? These are different terrorist groups. So they're giving weapons, even anti-tank missiles. And so this is a very dangerous scenario in which the U.S. is basically cooperating with Qatar and with Turkey. And so Turkey is dependent on an unstabilized region in which it will begin to have more incursions into the region. It will get into Egypt by using the Muslim Brotherhood. We think the Muslim Brotherhood is over in Egypt. That is not correct. The Muslim Brotherhood still has a huge constituency in Egypt and is still supported by a big dog called Turkey. And so then it will move into, it'll have incursions even further into Libya, into Tunisia. Tunisia is a Muslim Brotherhood, of course. You know, and North Africa will become part of that whole synopsis of an Ottoman dream. And so, you know, we have to understand that the Middle East is its most dangerous situation right now. And the U.S. isn't helping in this issue. And of course, Syria has Russia. Russia is an ally of Syria. Will Russia stand idle if and when Turkey comes and cashes in Syria? Well, it's hard to answer, because Russia is currently busy in the Crimea. If you notice, as soon as Russia got busy in the Crimea, Turkey got busy entering into Syria. In other words, under the Obama administration, all these systems and all these, you know, major powers in the region, with Obama administration saying, you know, this is the time to seize the moment. This is the time to do something about what we want because Obama ain't going to do anything. And it's exactly what's going on. So why do we have incursions into Syria by Turkey? Why do we have the Crimean situation? And it's because America is really pulling out of much of the foreign policy regarding, you know, controlling that region. And unfortunately, the Middle East is in the highest priority for America to kind of abandon, and that's exactly what is going on. Once you abandon it and you build a vacuum, what happens? Somebody else will fill in that vacuum.
I should share your concerns. And what do you think that will be? The Russians? Do you think that will be the Turks? Who would fill in the vacuum if we were to back out?
Well, you want me to answer now or wait till the news?
No, you go right ahead.
Yes, eventually, the Russians will not stand idle, threatening the whole issue, because Russia is turning Christian Orthodox. Hagia Sophia is a very interesting key point.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Waleed Subat, and he's talking about certainly the fact that Russia is turning Greek Orthodox.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
This is Dr. Stan, and certainly Wally takes a unique position, and one of the few people I know who actually does what I do, and that looks to the Bible to understand what is happening today, and looks at the prophecies as they were written thousands of years ago about the unfolding of events. And it's difficult for most people to actually take their attention off what we see on television and what we read in the newspapers and magazines, and begin looking at this as part of a spiritual battle that is being fought in the Middle East for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And certainly Christianity is under an attack in that part of the world. But even more than that, we know that there is going to be this massive attack coming on Israel. And everything is lining up just exactly as it's laid out in the scriptures. And I hope those of you who don't get part of the program that comes up during the breaks will want to get this tape and listen to it several times, because I think the points that Waleed makes are vitally important for you. Waleed, go right ahead.
Well, you know, the problem is with many who study the Bible, and I love the Bible, is that they isolate much of the Bible. Let's give you an example here. When they talk about Ezekiel 38, it's a battle of Gog and Magog, and they think it's Russia, so on and so forth. But what most don't understand that the whole theme of Ezekiel is from chapter 28 to 39. In other words, what do we find in Ezekiel chapter 30? It talks about a coalition of forces. Egypt is involved. So in other words, in Ezekiel 38, there's Egypt involved, because we've got to pick up from Ezekiel 30 and 28, 29, 31, 32. And what do you find in Ezekiel 31, 32? All the way, you'll find out all Islamic countries. Every single country is Islamic. You find out many, many nations are involved in this battle. Lydia is being emphasized. Lydia is none other than Turkey. So in other words, when we look at Meshech Tubal Beit Togarma in Ezekiel 38, it's pretty clear where the Bible says what it means. It means Lydia. It unites Lydia with Libya, with Persia, in Ezekiel chapter 30. So we understand Meshech and Tubal is not Moscow and Tobolsk. No historian would agree that that's Moscow and Tobolsk. That simply sound like words, like Gomer would be Germany. That is not what the historians would agree to. Find me one historian that would say Gomer is Germany. All historians agree with me. Gomer is in Asia Minor. The Bible is focused on Asia Minor. In fact, if you read the whole Bible and find what it says about the North, trouble. The East, trouble. The South, trouble. The West, no trouble. Yet we focused on the West all the time. We have some sort of a European Union, and we focused on Russia because it says North. Well, it says the North Quarters, north of Israel, go like a windshield wiper on the map. What do you find? You find the Caucasus region, the southern Russia, Turkey. That's the region that's coming against Israel, and it's all Islamic. You don't have to go as far as Russia. If Russia was intended, then who is this person or who is this entity that comes threatening the Antichrist from the north? So if Gog, let's say, was the Antichrist, that is being, well, Gog is the Antichrist in my view, but if it's Russia that's Gog, what's north of Russia? What do you have? An ocean. And the problem is that people don't take basic geography when they read the text of the scriptures. They don't look at basic lineages and who these people are when they read the Word of God, and that's been always the problem. So, you know, Russia is by far is not the threat. Why would God want to make an Orthodox Christian country a threat? Of course, there's anti-Semitism amongst Orthodox, there's anti-Semitism amongst Catholics, there's anti-Semitism everywhere. We fight that tooth and nail. However, that Russia being a Christian Orthodox, uniting with, let's say, Iran and with Turkey, is not feasible at all. It doesn't make any sense. But it's really an Islamic coalition. And if we study Ezekiel 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, I guarantee that you will see that picture very clear. The Arabs are mentioned. The Persians are mentioned. The Libyans are mentioned. North Africa is mentioned. Even the Emirates are mentioned. So You know, you look at this whole synopsis, you will find the truth, and the truth will set us all free. But how often do you see students of the Bible studying those chapters of the Bible? They have favorites. We say, 38, that's my favorite. Well, no, 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 why not 28? We say, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Well, why not 63? 63 talks about also Israel. It says, in all their affliction, he, Christ, was afflicted. Wow. Look at Isaiah 63, verse 8. It's the most amazing verse I've ever read. In every way, the Jews were afflicted, whether they were naked in the Holocaust, in prison, hungry. Christ also suffered in the Gospels.
And I think the people really can't see the big picture. It's very easy to take a little clip out of Ezekiel 38 and 39 without seeing the big picture. But I think we are moving towards the climax in history. I think we're living in prophetic times. And I really admire certainly Wally for his analysis of this. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm clouds
miracle. Miracle Seed products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford. That's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American during their lifetime. And many disease the processed food is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Wally is simply saying that things are entirely different in certainly in the Middle East, the Near East, than they are here in the United States. Here in the United States, you may be a Christian, you may be an atheist, you may be a Jew, you may be a Muslim, certainly you may be nothing at all. You may be anti-religion, but you have that right. But certainly over in the Near East and the Middle East, you either go along with the Muslim faith or you are killed. And this is how the been able to spread the Muslim faith so effectively through Libya and Tunisia and Egypt. And these were all predominantly Christian countries at one time. And when the Muslims got in there, they simply killed off anybody who would not convert to the Muslim faith. And that is taking place all throughout the Middle East today. And it has been going on for 1,000 years, well, almost 1,000 years, and it will probably continue going on. The average individual, let's see, the Ottoman Empire was really finally established, I think, in the 1400s. But basically, this is the dominant force over there, and it still is. Now, an awful lot of the people over there don't want to be Muslims. In other words, they don't want to live under Sharia law. They acknowledge the Muslim faith because it's been pandered on down to them, but they don't want to live under Sharia law. And yet, for some incredible reason, why the U.S. military imposed Sharia law on both Afghanistan and Iraq, but then so much of what's going on over there just doesn't make sense. The Christians under attack in Libya and in Tunisia and in Egypt and certainly all throughout that part of the world and certainly in Syria because of American policy. But you pick up the story, Walid.
Yes, I would like to get into, basically ask the audience who was the greatest threat in history to Christendom. It was the author, and we forget history. They into much of Byzantium and into Vienna, all the way trying to take over Rome and Europe, that is coming back. That has not died. The dream of Islam has never died. First Constantinople, then Roma. I know Islam. I was Muslim myself. First Constantinople, that is Hagia Sophia. Then Rome, that is the Vatican. That is Europe, in other words. And so the greatest threat in history turned out to become the sick man of Europe. And the sick man or the dead man of Europe is reviving again. And it's exactly what John told us in Revelation. When it talks about a beast, it's talking about a threat. There's a threat, a dragon coming. It's going against Israel in Revelation chapter 12. It's going against the faithful, against the Christian, against the whole Judeo-Christian world. It's a threat. It's a major threat. And it was wounded. It died. It comes. See what we see today. I've analyzed these things 20 years ago, and I'm sitting here flabbergasted, watching in the churches, watching the synagogues, watching everybody, and how they cannot really look at the text. You don't have to be even a Christian. You could be Jewish. Just look at Daniel or look at Ezekiel and read the text and see. It's not as God forgot to tell us the threat. It's that we forgot what God was trying to tell us, what the threats were for 2,000 years. Daniel did predict about Antiochus of his time. Even the Maccabeans were warned because they read Daniel. And that's why I like the book of Maccabees. How the Jews can be Jewish in full essence without understanding Maccabees and Matthias standing up for the faith and killing anyone who, burned incense to the god of Antiochus Epiphanes. And that's exactly what we have today. They want us to bow to an image in Saudi Arabia. Why do I call it an image? Well, it's simple, because in Acts chapter 19, verse 35, look it up. It says, do not worship Artemis and her image that fell from Zeus. Well, that was an asteroid, all scholars would agree. Yet the Bible, the biblical text, calls it an image. So an asteroid does qualify as an image. Yet for the Christian friend of mine, I may urge them to look at the words of John, that they must bow, worship the image of the beast. Muslims will deny that they worship the black stone, but they say it takes away all their sins. Only God can take away sins. So they do worship the black stone. They do worship Muhammad too, even though they deny it. So that's the case that we have. And we have a revival of this. And we have the West sleeping and slumbering, reviving the very entity they had fought tooth and nail in history. And they're allied with it, giving it power and strength to revive itself. And I sit here watching this boob tube, whether it's Fox or CNN or whatever, BBC, And I'm just basically wondering, don't they know that they are also going to be next? Don't they understand? Even the Muslims are in danger. If you look at Syria, Muslims are dying, you know. Shia are dying. Sunnis are killing Sunnis. Even the poor Muslim who doesn't understand what the heck is going on needs to look at a different face to realize that he has been basically, fooled. He's been fooled to think that that's the same as Christianity or that's the same as Judaism. And so we're dealing with this in Egypt. You have secular Muslims, you have Muslim Brotherhood. And the secularist Muslims, they say they love Islam and they fight against the Muslim Brotherhood. They don't understand that the problem itself is Islam. And this is basically the whole issue that I'm hated the most, because I do say that Islam is a trouble. And I do offend many who are secular Muslim, but I mean no offense to these people. All what I'm trying to say is that Islam did not grow through peace. Even the peaceful Muslim would realize that Islam grew through the sword. It was the cross who basically penetrated the continent with peace. But Islam came with a sword. And that's what we see now. We see the sword reviving, and we see everything that the history fought, that America fought, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, will come back again to haunt us.
Amen to that. Well, what about the Christians in Syria? Because I know when you were on the Janet Parshall show, you were talking about the fate of the Christians in Syria, which is really a horrible thing. It's certainly, we never talk about this here on American television. We never show the pictures of what's happening to the civilians there in Syria. But would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because this is largely funded with American tax dollars. And one day I fear that God is going to hold the American people guilty, not for what they've done, but what they haven't done in opposing the policies of the American government, which has brought this horror to Syria. They've killed over probably 150,000 innocent civilians in Syria. What's really going on over there?
Well, the problem with the Christian community in Syria is that they were neutral. They had no qualms about Bashar al-Assad, Iran versus Russia or versus Israel or versus anything. They just basically wanted to live in peace and harmony. And they did. Under Bashar al-Assad, they were free to worship. They were free to go to church. They were protected, the minority. You had about 4 million Christians in Syria. Now it's 1.5 million left. And the Christians are fleeing by the drove from Syria. You have also an Armenian community. Armenian community is basically in the north, and near the Turkish borders with Kasab, and now they're in Latakia and other places. They're being, you know, moved from their homes. And so the Armenians are suffering, and many of the Armenian populations have left to Armenia as a state, just like the Jews have a state called Israel. Yet what is kept behind is the Orthodox Christian, Wadi Nasara, you know, and other areas in Halab, and, you know, several areas in Syria that is Christian, and it's being persecuted heavily by Daesh and by al-Nusra and by others, by al-Qaeda operatives, in which they behead Christians and they kill Christians galore. In fact, in one of the testimonies, even of a Muslim who talked about a slaughterhouse in which Armenians were being slaughtered. So when they say they're not slaughtering Armenians, it's a lie. We have testimonies from Muslims that talked about slaughtering Armenians. And so, you know, the situation of the Syrian is, the Christian is very dire in Syria. There's not much help going to them, and much of the help that comes by the United Nations, the trucks and their lorries, they go through Turkey, they're taken over by the Kurds, and there's not much left for the Christians, probably two sacks of potatoes or whatever. So there's not much food going there, and there's a starvation epidemic also in Syria. There's also rainfall problem, famine, and so you have all sorts of trouble going on in Syria, and of course, it's the Christian who suffers. The Christians go to Jordan, they're hungry there, they live in camps, and they're all over Timbuktu. We dealt with the situation. We have our organization, Rescue Christians. We deal with a courageous nun by the name of Hatun Dogan. She goes to Syria, and she gives us the report. And in Syria, she sends monies in which we raise the funds and Rescue Christians to help the Christians in Syria. She also goes to Egypt, helping the Christians in Egypt. And in Iraq, the Assyrian Christians are being persecuted very heavily in Iraq. Churches are being burned and destroyed and blown up. And all over, from Egypt to Syria to Iraq, the Christian population is diminishing by the day. And many Christians in Egypt refuse to leave Egypt because they say if we leave Egypt, then there'll be no more light in Egypt, because the Christians in Egypt believe, especially the Copts, believe that they are the salt of the earth of Egypt. They believe that they are the light, the lighthouse of Egypt. And if they leave, the lighthouse goes away. Nothing will be left in Egypt except darkness in Egypt. So their Christianity is kind of a little different than we have here, in which that they basically put crosses on their chests in the open, and they lift them in demonstrations, and they, on the open, even though they're under a major threat, there's only 8 to 10 million Coptic Christians in Egypt, versus 80 to 90 million, you know, of the population of Egypt. So the 90% is Muslim. There's only 10%. Yet they stand strong in Egypt. So Christianity stemmed from that region. In fact, the oldest communities of Christendom really came from Syria. That's why they worship in the Aramaic language, in the language of Jesus himself and the apostles. You know, this is an area of Christianity that is really the heritage of Christianity. And we simply are looking the other way and not doing much about helping the suffering Christians in Syria. It is a very, very sad day for the Christians in Syria, as well as everywhere else, even in Pakistan. In Pakistan, you know, now it's no longer that you can escape if you have blasphemy against you in Pakistan. They will carry out the death penalty. We're dealing with the top cases. We take the highest profile cases in Pakistan. The latest in Pakistan is a case of a crippled man. And his wife is crippled from the waist down, and they're going to hang him. And the court basically sentenced him to hang. Now it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And all these things. We take these cases, and you have also wolves in sheep's clothing. Also, when the case becomes high profile, they want a piece of the action because they're interested in raising money, so-called, to help the persecuted, and they have no interest in the persecuted. That's why they come to us.
Well, now, why don't we get your telephone number out, your address, your website, so people would know how to get in touch with your ministry, and if they feel so moved to help you.
It's Rescue Christians. They have just to look up Rescue Christians. They can go to shoebat.com, S-H-O-E, BAT.com, just as you spell the word shoe and the word bat, shoebat.com, or go to rescuechristians.org, and they will see how they can help. They can help $20 a month, $50 a month, whatever two mites they can give will go a long way, because we're very frugal in how we run our operation. We make sure that the victim that receives the money is with hand to Christians in either Pakistan, Syria, and in Iraq. We're the only organization that really takes people out of the danger zone. There's many other good organizations that sends blankets and things of that sort. That's fine and dandy, but there isn't much done about moving the Christians out of harm's way when all things, you know, go ballistic in the region.
And things are going ballistic over there, ladies and gentlemen. This is just be a terrible, terrible, and dangerous place for Christians to live. And yet, of course, is there a telephone number that where people could call if they wanted to call?
Yes, 720-935-2826. 720-935-2826.
I think that we have an obligation to try to help up Wally. I mean, he has his ministry over there trying to help the Christians, and they seem to be more or less, well, are there many other organizations that are over there? Are any of them actually moving the Christians out of the region into safe areas?
Well, no. Unfortunately, that's why we started. We started. If you recall, 2 decades ago, I started as a prophecy teacher, writing books, fighting terrorism, being pro-Israel. All of a sudden, I got plunged into this, not by desire, just by sheer accident, when I began to deal with the case of a persecuted Christian, I called the major organizations, and none of them really do that kind of thing. And so I decided it was time for me to take action. And I did. And that's what it ended up with, rescuing Christian. That's how the Almighty puts in our path. It's sort of like the story of the Samaritan versus the Pharisee. Not that all Pharisees are bad, but there was one Pharisee who passed by the Samaritan. He didn't do anything, but the Samaritan, sorry, by the man who was basically beaten on his way to Jericho, if you know the story. And then a Samaritan passes by and does something. And so that's how basically God's going to judge us. What have we done regarding what he put in our path? You don't walk by and see a burning apartment with an old lady there asking for help, and you give her the four spiritual laws in a booklet. You go and rescue that woman, take her to the hospital, and then you give her the four spiritual laws in a booklet. In other words, what we find out in many of these organizations is that they say we give Bibles. Well, that's fine and dandy to give somebody a Bible. But if you're drowning in the water, and I send you a rope, and the end of the rope, I tie a Bible, and I say, here, you know, this is what you need. Instead of sending you a floating tube, then raising you up to the dock or to the boat, and then tell you what I think about life and eternity, I would have done the service if I threw you the tube first.
Well, now, basically, where are you moving the Christians? Are you moving them? Are there any camps, any Christian camps over there?
It's not camps. We move them out of the country from Pakistan. Yes, we can't disclose all the countries where we move them.
Right.
But we do move them. And if you take a look at Rescue Christians, you'll see the major cases and you'll see the testimonies of the victims saying what happened and how they were rescued.
And I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that we have an obligation for what's going on, in large part because our government is the one who is actually promoting this chaos over there in Syria, where so many Christians have lost their homes. They're burning the villages, they're beheading the Christians, they're raping the women, and we're not hearing about this on the controlled media. We'll be back in just a moment with Waleed to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take prostate support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try prostate support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Take a look at the recent articles that we have and all about it.
Okay, God bless. This is Dr. Stan here, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Well, it's too bad, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you are in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or if you prefer, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because that's the number we used when we were on the front lines of the battle to try to stop the spread of the AIDS epidemic, and at least we slowed it down here in the United States, but it's still certainly having a tremendous impact over in Africa. But of course, now, of course, this gives us a vehicle, a convenient telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, if you like to remember it that way. Under any circumstances, why, certainly, if you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, reaching out across America, indeed reaching out across the world with our message to try to get people to understand what's going on. And we're up against organized evil. And because that is the story of the Bible, and that is the story of what's really going on today. If you have not yet seen Pastor Billy's the excellent DVD series, The Final Countdown, going into the prophetic events that are unfolding today, that's Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown. There's actually 8 of them, each one with 4 or 5 DVDs in it. You want to get the set? And then, of course, we actually have his other set on UFOs, Part 1, Part 2. And UFOs are real, but they're not coming from another galaxy. They're billions of miles away. They're coming from the other dimension. And they're manifestations of the supernatural battle that is being waged today for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you'd like to get the DVD sets, and believe me, they're excellent, oh, why, of course, 1-800-544-8927. The Final Countdown is the story of unfolding a prophecy. UFOs, and there's just 2 in that set, 2 sets there, each with 5 or 6 DVDs. But they will give you the information you need to know to be able to speak intelligently and to share with others. And hopefully, when people begin to understand what is going on spiritually, why this will tend to draw them into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed to have the opportunity to do what we do. And we do hope if you're out there, you'll join us in this epic struggle for the survival of men and certainly the continuation of Christian society, because Christian society is under attack today. So remember, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, I hope that you want to get some of the DVDs we've done. The Forbidden Secret, I think, is an excellent DVD to get. And then we just have so many Sunday DVDs and books. You can go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can watch our DVDs. Many of them are posted there and free of charge. Watch them and get other people to watch them. Your job is to get other people to understand what's going on And if you can, bring them into a personal relationship with our Lord. And then, of course, you can listen to our radio programs there where it says listen online. And basically, of course, you can listen live 4 hours a day on our website or archive 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters. Why? We have a section there called News on the Net. News on the Net, and suddenly you click on that, and you'll see all the things that I think are important. We post something there almost every day, sometimes several times a day. So remember, our website is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. So we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg. And William, of course, he was formerly the senior editor for the New American Magazine. He suddenly has worked for Republic Magazine. He's a profuse writer. He writes articles that you'll see Lou Rockwell. He writes the monthly article for the Radio Liberty newsletter. But right now, suddenly, William, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, first of all, as always, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. And secondly, I just, two and a half hours ago, returned from a trip to Bunkerville, Nevada, where in the company of a couple of my friends, Dale Williams, who's a radio talk show host in Salt Lake City, and my friend Scott Watson, we visited the place of the standoff, seeing the standoff on April 12th, and I got an opportunity, I had an opportunity, I should say, to interview Clive and Sonny and his sons, Ammon and Ryan, and these were brief interviews because these people are much in demand right now. They were doing stand-up live interviews with Sean Hannity's show and a number of other network and talk radio programs. But I wanted to get a sense of what the situation is there and to get a sense to the extent possible of what kind of people the Bundys are. And my impression is, first of all, that they're tremendously earnest, that they are forthright, they are honest, they are honorable and hardworking. Whatever one thinks of their view of the legal questions involved here, there is no way that they can be accurately described as opportunistic or as venal. You cannot claim, as many on the parasitical left have said, that these are in any sense welfare cheats. That's the characterization that's being floated very assiduously by the sort of people who believe that you're greedy if you want to keep your own money rather than having it stolen from you through taxation. The type of people who have accused, among others, Ammon Bundy of being a welfare cheat are the sort of people for whom Pajama Boy is an icon of postmodern masculinity. Ammon Bundy is a man who ripped taser leads out of his body and then charged the police to defend his family. That's something, of course, that is foreign to the ethicine sensibilities of the modern progressive movement. Now, what I am very afraid of right now, Dr. Stan, is that there is a dynamic being put in place consciously to demonize this family as, at best, anarchistic, and at worst, clear and present danger to the health of the body politic. And those who have supported and defended them as domestic terrorists, that characterization was used yesterday by the unspeakably vile Harry Reid, who, owing to a combination of native ignorance and advancing civility, is barely able to wheeze out the sound bites that he has fed on 3x5 index cards. But he emphasized in this statement that what happened on April 12th was supposedly an act of domestic terrorism. And among other things, he accused the Bundys and their supporters of consciously endangering women and children by putting them at the front line. There were some foolish things said by Sheriff Richard Mack about putting women on the front line. But to the best of my knowledge, no children were involved in that standoff. And that detail strikes me as perverse and very, very frightening. Because Harry Reid is on record as saying that it is an appropriate thing for the federal government to murder the children of people the president has designated enemies of the state. He's on record defending discretionary child kid killing in the name of fighting terrorism. These people want to murder the Bundys and those who support them. And I'm very afraid that they're planning to do so in the very near future.
Well, I certainly hope you're wrong, but we're just going to have to wait and see how this fills out. Our guest is William Grigg. I just back, certainly, from Nevada and certainly the standoff we've had there. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and health care you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 and ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is saying that he's talked to the Bundys, and the Bundys acknowledge that this is land where they're grazing their cattle is not their land. It is public land that belongs to the state. And he refers back, and William has checked this out, to the 1870s when this property then was somewhere in that time, when, of course, Nevada became a state in the Union, and it was stipulated by Congress at the time that the federal government would have military bases and some buildings and things of that sort. But certainly there was 90% of the land was not privately owned, and it was stipulated that that property was to be sold and not owned by the federal government. Is that correct, William?
That's correct.
Okay, fine. So this is the law of the land, and isn't it interesting? You never will hear that discussed. Go right ahead.
That's a very important element of this discussion here. People talk about the fact they've lost a series of court cases in a court of inappropriate jurisdiction. They've been all held. All these legal hearings and motions have been considered in a federal court, which is the case of the federal court ruling on the propriety of federal action. That, of course, is not appropriate. The appropriate venue would be county and state district court in Nevada. And unfortunately, most of the people in the county government there, including the despicable offspring of the execrable Harry Reid, he's the county commissioner there, Rory Reid, just like his father, an individual, I won't call him a man of unremarkable stature, having the disposition of a poisoned dwarf. He's a Clark County commissioner there. That's a really important part of the story, is the dynastic and oligarchical machinations of Harry Reid and his offspring. And his former land use advisor is now the director of the BLM. He was appointed to that post on April 8th. And, of course, you had an escalation against the Bundy Ranch starting around April 8th of this year. But what the Bundys say is that in a court of competent jurisdiction, their claims would be recognized as valid. And they're perfectly willing to pay appropriate grazing fees for the use of what they refer to as public land. I'm of the opinion the government shouldn't own land that if it's going to have any relationship with real property, it should be as a renter. And the land should be owned by people in the productive sector rather than the parasitical sector. But in any case, that's not the Bundy's position. They recognize that there is the validity to something we call public land, and that the public land in question should be locally administered so it would be taken care of by people who've got an investment in its upkeep, which is a sound principle. And this whole question of the desert tortoise, this is something we talked about last week, Dr. Stan, is such a patently fraudulent problem. It's not only fraudulent, it's a really good specimen of the way that government creates problems and then proposes solutions that exacerbate the problems. I referred last week to an article from Rangelands magazine from June 1990 entitled The Desert Tortoise in Relation to Cattle Grazing by Vernon Bostlick. One of the things that this article points out, I'll summarize the key points here because they're very important here, is that the tortoise has thrived in direct proportion to the practice of cattle grazing on these rangelands, because there is a symbiotic relationship between cattle and the tortoise. Most of the people in the foundation-funded pseudo-environmentalist groups have been pushing the land grab and use of the desert tortoise as the cat's paw for this land grab. Most of these groups claim that the cattle denude the rangelands of the vegetation that the tortoise required to live. This is true because the tortoise are not equipped, the desert tortoise doesn't have the proper dentition in order to devour the vegetation. What they subsist upon is the fecal residue left behind by bovines. In other words, the cows process the vegetation that the turtles cannot eat and make it digestible for the tortoises because they're coprophagic. And this is something that has been known for over a century. Way back in the beginning of the 20th century, this relationship was understood. And that was a time when the federal government was actively promoting cattle grazing in these areas, Gold Butte area and elsewhere in the state of Nevada, that's now called the habitat of the desert tortoise. The desert tortoise were not native to that area. They immigrated, if you will, they migrated to that area because the cattle went there and created a biome in which they could live. And in World War I, when the federal government made huge demands of the cattle industry in order to provide beef for our our troops involved in that stupid and improvident overseas war, you had cattle grazing all the way across what's now called the desert tortoise habitat, and you had the tortoise moving in at the same time the cattle were there. And over the course of about 80 years now, beginning in 1934, the federal government has been moving the cattle off the land, and as they move the cattle off the land, the tortoise population has been declining because they're being starved out. It's because they're moving the cattle off that land. Of course, that means the tortoise, in pursuit of one of the non-negotiable laws of nature, will move to an area where they can find what they're looking for. They're looking, in other words, for another area where the cattle are allowed to graze, but all these cattle ranches are being shut down. So it's the federal government responsible for what we're told is the impending extinction of the desert tortoise. I've not done enough study to know if they are indeed going extinct or if they've simply abandoned the area because the cattle are no longer there. But the raw and incontestable fact of the matter must be that if the cows are removed, the turtles are going to die too. So that's a completely phony issue that's being used in order to cover the real objective here, which is to lock down the land to make it amenable, make it available for development by politically connected interests. And there has been much speculation now as to what those interests would be. We know that Rory Reed has been involved as a business partner with Chinese energy firms that want to move into the area to set up solar farms. We know that there is a politically protected, non-representative group of American Indians that are pursuing a similar design. This is all in relative proximity to the Bundy territory, although not right next to it. And there are reasons to believe that these scenarios may or may not be responsible for what's going on here. But the overarching ideological purpose here is to shut down ranching and to shut down extraction industries of all kinds.
And I think it's important for people to understand that a number of ranchers, or cattle ranchers, have been forced off their land. What were there, 40 or 50 that were actually grazing in this area
before? There were 52. There were 52 in the Clark County area, and of course,
this is the only one that's left. All the rest were literally forced off, forced to give up their professions, forced to take their cattle off certainly the land. Go ahead.
And that has ominous implications for our food supply and for the market upon which we depend for one of our staple foods, which is beef.
And I think that people have to understand they really want to destroy the infrastructure of our society. They really don't want us to have meat. They want to drive the price up to a point we can't really afford it. They want to lower our living standards. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know that these things are happening, not by accident, but by intent, as part of a long-range plan to simply stop cattle ranching in America. They're doing a very good job of it. Go right ahead.
Yeah, way back in 1993, as I mentioned last week, then Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt was very consciously and quite openly pursuing an objective. The initiative was called Rangeland 94, which called for dramatic escalation of regulatory burdens on ranchers and the escalation of grazing fees as a way of driving ranchers off the land. He had said a couple of years prior to this, back in 1991, as the head of the League of Conservation Voters, that he was seeking to identify their enemies and drive them into oblivion. And he's done a very good job. He and people of that reprehensible ilk have done a very good job in shutting down most of the cattle ranching in the southwestern United States. And on top of that, this is something else that we have to bear in mind. You still have a very pronounced and dramatic drought underway in California right now that is making it increasingly difficult for people in the cattle industry in that state to find forage and feed for cattle. And so we're going to see severe price shocks based on what I'm convinced would be engineered scarcity in the livestock market this year. This is not an uncommon thing, but if we were dealing with a price spike in a free market economy, what would happen would be an expansion of the industry that supplies that meat. What's going to happen here is that there's going to be a price spike, and then there's going to be nobody able to supply cattle, at least domestically. So we might find ourselves having to import beef from South America or from elsewhere in the world. But the United States, traditionally, since at least the middle of the 20th century, I think Argentina until the mid-20th century was probably the dominant cattle ranching country in the Western Hemisphere. But since the middle of the 20th century, it's been the United States. And as you say, Dr. Stan, they're driving this industry into extinction. This is deliberate. This is conscious. And the foundation-funded environmentalist groups that are behind this are overtly and blatantly pursuing this strategy as part of this larger design to reconfigure human society for a command and control economy presided over by these infinitely wise elders whose souls resonate with the otherwise unseen and unheard logic of the environment. They're attuned to the needs of nature. How fortunate are we that we have these seers among us who can decipher the needs of insensate animals who don't have the capacity of speech and natural resources that otherwise wouldn't have a voice to tell us how to balance our needs with those of nature. You know, what a blessing and privilege are we to live in such an era when people of that sort walk among us and have benevolently offered to run our lives on our behalf. That means running people like the Bundys out of business.
And I think it's so important that we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that your people's attention is focused on what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on certainly in Turkey, what's going on in Syria, what's going on certainly in Iran and in Egypt, and certainly the threat of terrorism. And we hear over and over and over again about the threat of terrorism, but ladies and gentlemen, the enemy certainly is not overseas. The enemy is here. They work at the highest levels of our government to disrupt and destroy our society, to limit our population, to do all sorts of things in the name of health that are deleterious to us. And certainly, I mean, if you look and see what the effect of vaccines are on our children, all the complications. And of course, here we're really destroying the food supply. These people know exactly what they're doing. They want to disrupt and destroy what was once the finest nation in this world. Why would anyone in their right mind want to do that? Because we're not dealing with people in their right mind, but they're organized, they're very well financed. And in my estimation, they are inherently evil. We'll be back in a moment with William Grigg.
While the storm clouds gather.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, William is just talking about what hearty people and what sincere people the Bundys are. They feel that they are right legally. And the question is, why isn't this case being fought certainly in the court system? And since there are obviously some corrupt federal judges, then this case should be taken to the Supreme Court and the original law should be looked at, which stipulated that certainly the federal government was not to maintain control over this land. But go ahead and pick up the story there.
First of all, this should be looked upon as a civil rather than a criminal dispute, which means, as Judge Napolitano has pointed out, what they can do is to attach the land through lien. And so upon Mr. Bundy's death or the sale of the property, the federal government would be first in line to collect whatever they can as a consequence of the legal judgment, the civil judgment against the property. That's something that doesn't require anything more than a modest amount of paperwork. It should be looked upon as a civil rather than a criminal matter. And yet they mobilized SWAT teams and brought in paramilitary troops and snipers, and most likely people who were contract operators, the sort we saw in Iraq, in order to intimidate these people into surrendering cattle. And that's something that they were not entitled to do legally or morally or ethically. With respect to the avenue of appeal here that the Bundy family could use, it's been commonly said by many people, including the detestable Harry Reid, that they've exhausted their legal appeals. I don't think that's true, but if they were to take this to the Supreme Court would have to grant them certiorari. And I don't think that the Supreme Court would be inclined to do so. This is a court, but in most instances, the federal Supreme Court is loath to intervene in matters regarding the disposition of lands in the West, because this is an issue that goes right to a fracture point, the very foundation of our current regime. They're not really going to be interested in granting a hearing to a rancher who's making a foundational claim regarding the propriety of the federal government owning land in the West, because the federal government owns one out of every 2 acres out here in the western United States. So I'm not really confident that the Supreme Court will be willing to take up this case. A third issue that has to be considered here is that even if the Supreme Court did take this up and did rule in favor of Bundy, I am convinced that what would happen would be some variation on what Andrew Jackson said with respect to two different rulings issued by, I believe it was Justice Marshall, in favor of the treaty claims of my Cherokee ancestors when they were dealing with the buildup to the Trail of Tears. What Jackson said, well, it was Justice Marshall has made an interesting ruling, but see him enforce it. In the Obama administration in particular, you've got an administration that is disinclined to obey the law when the law has been made clear. That's why you've seen all these apparently weekly modifications to the supposedly sacred and venerable so-called Affordable Care Act, and you have an attorney general of the United States who's been held in criminal contempt of Congress, and yet he proceeds as if this is a matter of supreme indifference. And you've got a president of the United States who, in defiance of every law and every principle of decency, is still murdering people for drone strikes overseas. And in the figure, once again, this withered, decrepit, repellent figure of Harry Reid, you've got somebody who has gone on record as saying that if anybody deserved to be killed, it was the three Americans who were killed by drone strikes overseas, including a 16-year-old boy whose only offense was to be the issue of a man that the federal government considered to be an enemy of the state and subject to summary execution. And that is the point that I find really astonishing here. is that you've got Harry Reid and the people who are supporting him, meaning basically the Rachel Maddow left, everybody from the MSNBC Dear Leader cheering section, you know, the sort of people who have a North Korean disposition to dissent. These people are peddling the idea here that Cliven Bundy is probably the most fearsome figure in on the terrorism front since Timothy McVeigh, or at least since Osama bin Laden, and that those who surround him can be disposed of with extreme prejudice. Tomorrow we commemorate, celebrate is the wrong word, we commemorate the anniversary of the final Holocaust at Mount Carmel outside Waco. On April 20th, appropriately enough, it was Hitler's birthday, Bill Clinton defended the annihilation of the Branch Davidians, saying essentially it was a warning shot. He urged people who might be tempted to get involved with extremist groups of the sort to think about the horrible things that they have seen. He said, this is not the first time we've confronted such extremism. We may have to confront it again. That's as near a paraphrase as my memory will allow. That's the same type of rhetoric we're hearing about the Bundys and about those who have rallied to their defense. And I honestly think that if the public accepts the narrative that's being pitched right now, that the Obama administration is going to feel emboldened to take whatever action they consider necessary in order to deal with this threat, and I think that it might involve mass bloodshed.
Well, okay, the thing is that we have to get the American people to understand the media is controlled, that their ideas, their thoughts, and what they believe is controlled because the media is controlled, and basically our minds are molded, our thoughts formed, our ideas suggested largely by people we've never heard of. That's a quotation from Edward Bernays in his book, A Propaganda, and he was hired by the government to control our minds, Edward Bernays.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford. That's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is just saying, and sort of echoing my thought, that this whole thing is engineered. Mr. Bundy has said that the sheriff showed up with a legitimate warrant why he would submit to being arrested. Certainly they object to certainly the SWAT teams coming in there and kicking in doors and threatening women and but basically, Mr. Bundy has said, you know, they come with a legitimate warrant. So why don't they get a legitimate warrant? And it's just this whole thing is engineered, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it's what's going on in Ukraine is engineered, what's going on in Syria is being engineered, what's going on in Turkey and Egypt are being engineered, and what's going on in the ranch there in Nevada is being engineered. The easiest thing, the simplest thing, the most logical thing, get suddenly a legitimate warrant. Why don't they do it? Because they want to see this whole tragic scenario. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm convinced that there's a great deal of, if you will, subterranean architecture here that involves deliberate wargaming of this confrontation for the purpose of achieving several gains. I mentioned, first of all, the idea that it's always useful to sort of people who rule through terror and violence to use terror and violence to intimidate people. And secondly, sometimes somewhat hackneyed, but appropriate expression. The action is in the reaction. There will be a very predictable reaction here to Waco-style or Ruby Ridge-style assault on the Bundy family. And that reaction would be for certain people to become militant. Where there's militancy, even when it's justified, there's a fertile environment in which the federal government, the FBI in particular, can sow the seeds of false flag operations that will sprout fueled by the understandable frustration of the people who've been wronged. That's something the FBI has been doing now for a decade to American Muslims. They don't, when they set out to create a false flag operation, they don't talk about the impudence of infidels who refuse to make Islam. They talk about the fact that the United States government is murdering men, women, and children overseas who have done no harm to us and don't threaten us. And they capitalize on those righteous grievances, and they turn these people in the direction of these carefully scripted plots carried out by their giddy theatrical troupe of Homeland Security players. And Homeland Security theater operations occur with metronomic regularity involving the American Muslim population. They've done the same thing with some elements of the American right. And I don't doubt for a second that there are plans in effect, and probably there are already operations underway, involving the calculated infiltration of those segments of the American right that would most likely find themselves sympathetic and angered by an attack on the Bundy family.
And I think
they want conflict.
And I think people have to understand that they have infiltrated all of the conservative organizations. I know a number of leaders of conservative organizations, and there are people planted in those organizations who are there to disrupt them. But I can't tell people that when I can't prove it. But I know in my heart this is true. But they've done the same thing with the liberal organizations. They have people planted every place, and they're watching everybody. They have tens of thousands of people reporting in. And suddenly, I think something like 19,000 people were working for this anti-terrorist group, and that was a number of years ago. And they're all reporting into the government, but suddenly they've infiltrated the conservative organizations and the liberal organizations and the right wing and the left wing and Republican organizations and the Democratic organizations. And this is all setting up for some sort of a major conflict coming down the line. And what they do is they will get very legitimate organizations to do something wrong, and basically it is being done. Everybody thinks it was a mistake there, or this legitimate organization made a mistake. No, it was a government agent working for them that did that. Go right ahead.
One of the things that I've been worried about for about two decades now is the fact that activist organizations have been permeated by provocateurs, as you correctly say, Dr. Stan, and this is by no means a new thing. We both know about COINTELPRO. It started in the 1950s. It coalesced into some real ugliness in the 1960s. It targeted the American Indian movement, the Black Panther movement, some of these other movements that were susceptible to radicalization. They were often the outgrowth of activism targeting genuine abuses. Obviously, the American Indians have been horribly abused by the federal government, and they still are to this day. And the Black Panther Militia was created in the Bay Area in response to police brutality and criminal corruption on the part of law enforcement. That was legitimate grievance. But the FBI infiltrated these groups and set them off against each other. And in the case of the American Indian Movement, you had a standoff in 1972 treaty over treaty rights that lasted for 71 days, and it appeared that they were going to be slaughtered, except for the fact that there were people who rallied to their side as not hostages, but as allies. And in some ways, that was a little bit like I wrote last week, that was a little bit like what happened in Bunkerville last Saturday, where you had people show up and make it very difficult for the federal government to use genuinely heavy-handed lethal tactics against the people who've been targeted. But after the 71-day standoff, there was a period of 3 or 4 years afterward when, operating COINTELPRO fashion, the FBI went about inflaming or generating internecine squabbles within the American Indian movement. And there were people in that movement who were not terribly reputable and not terribly disciplined, and so they were liable to treatment of that sort, and they were vulnerable to the blandishments that the FBI put before them. And suddenly people started to die. People started to disappear. There were people that were let off on blind alleys and tangents. There were people that had all kinds of factional squabbles and quarrels and falling out. They managed to neutralize that movement pretty effectively within about 3 or 4 years of failing in their original design, which was to wipe them out at Wounded Knee for the second time in a little less than 200 years. But the thing about what's happening here with the Bundy operation, if you will, and the larger story being woven right now, is that this is the proverbial spark that could ignite a general conflagration among so-called radical right groups. And so the familiar menagerie of left-wing watchdog groups, political spy organizations, the SPLC, the ADL, et al. Ad nauseum, are peddling the line right now that we're seeing the revival of the much-dreaded militia movement, and we're seeing something that could coalesce into a general insurrection against the federal government. And that's the sort of an environment in which provocateurs and informants will thrive. And I've been spending the last 5 or 6 years or longer talking about the way, once again, that the FBI has perfected the art of Homeland Security theater operations. We've seen more than a few that have targeted the so-called radical right, and there was one that was run by the Las Vegas Metro Police just over the last year that resulted in criminal charges. The role of Sheriff Gillespie in this is really quite intriguing to me. Sheriff Gillespie in Las Vegas, he's the Clark County Sheriff. He's also the Chief of Police of the Unified Metro Police Department, and so he's somebody who would be very deeply involved in this, as Harry Reid said. About 3 weeks ago, Harry Reid presented him with a very nice plaque, designating him as Sheriff of the Year. Gillespie is a horrible crook. He spent his entire career doing everything within his formidable skill set to prevent police officers who abuse or kill people unlawfully from facing accountability. In Las Vegas, in Clark County, Nevada, you do not have within memory a case where a manifestly unjust use of force by a police officer has resulted in criminal charges. And Gillespie has been a singular obstructionist when it comes to bringing about some kind of accountability. He's been a complete hostage of the police union there. And as far as he's concerned, there just is no circumstance in which a police officer's use of force is not justified. So he's the guy in whom the Bundy family has invested their hope of some kind of interposition on their behalf against the federal government. He's wholly owned by the feds. And the reason why he's wholly owned by the feds is because he's so compromised. He's so eminently compromisable. That's how these people work. And the fact that you've got this task force being formed here is something that should be considered troublesome. The purpose of a task force is not to deal with a problem in a way that would involve some kind of mutually beneficial legal resolution. It's, the purpose of a task force is not to de-escalate. The purpose of a task force is to wage war upon somebody. And so I don't doubt for a second that this is being conducted through the Joint Terrorism Task Force, through the Department of Homeland Security. And again, I find an eerie resonance to the fact that we're dealing with all this in April. I mean, tomorrow's April 19th. That day, of course, is saturated with memory, much of it quite tragic and awful. But another thing that occurred to me, and this is the subject of my most recent essay about what happened to Bunkerville, Ranchers versus Regulators, the Clark County Rage War, the Range War. One thing that occurred to me is that what's going on in Clark County in 2014 is very much like what happened in Johnson Jackson County, Wyoming, in 1892, when a politically connected cartel, a cattle cartel, that was operated by the same Eastern Seaboard and European financial interests that later coalesced into the Council on Foreign Relations and created the Federal Reserve, they had an outpost there in Wyoming, the Wyoming Stock Growers Association. It was a classic cartel, and they were trying to run the ranchers, the small ranchers, off the land. And the land was unapportioned federal land that was open for grazing, was open range. And so what they did is they whipped up a frenzy in the Eastern press about rustling. There was rustling going on, but of course it was very minuscule in amount and at the periphery of the marketplace. But they managed to convince a large segment of the population in the Eastern Seaboard that read the newspapers that Johnson County was basically lawless, that there was no protection for property and life and person, and nothing of the sort was going on there. What they wanted to do is they wanted to demonize the independent small ranchers along the Powder River. They wanted to demonize them in the public mind as an enemy of the public at large. And the Stock Growers Association, working through the commission, the Cattle Commission, which is they were the non-governmental organization. The County Commission was a quasi-governmental organization. They recruited a gang of assassins, a literal death squad called Regulators. 52 of these guys arrived in a sealed Pullman car on April 3rd, I believe, of 1892. And 5 days later, April 8th of that year, they went out and murdered a rancher by the name of Nate Champion, who had testified against a corrupt official who'd murdered a cattleman a couple of years earlier. And then they spent 4 or 5 days rampaging through the countryside. And eventually a citizen militia coalesced with the help of the Clark County Sheriff, a man by the name of Red Angus. They surrounded the ranch house where the Regulators had their base of operation. And on April 12th, there's that date again, of 1892, they laid siege to that ranch house, and they completely dominated and defeated these Regulators. And what happened in the interim was that there was a panic telegram sent to President Harrison by the governor of Wyoming saying that there was a general insurrection in Wyoming that had threatened the military base at Fort McKinney. And so the president ordered a colonel with the 6th Cavalry to ride out to Buffalo, actually just outside of Buffalo, Wyoming, and deal with the insurrection. When the soldiers got there, they actually arrested the Regulators, which is to say they supported the sheriff in arresting the Regulators, the agents of this cartel. And the colonel in command there, Colonel Van Horn, very sensibly said, this is not a military affair. This is an affair for the civil government here. This is an affair for the sheriff. The sheriff has jurisdiction. The sheriff is the person to whom these criminals are going to have to surrender. Our only role here is to make sure that these people are disarmed and taken into custody. And so that's how that confrontation ended on April 12th of 1892. Now, on April 12th of 2014, you had a citizen militia and activist group. Now, most of these people weren't militia, but you had volunteers and witnesses and activists and militia, about 300 or 400 strong, to turn back the BLM and their Regulators. And their Regulators included people who were contract assassins, the legitimate heirs to the Regulators of the 1892 Johnson County War. It's just really interesting how you have these two episodes set apart by more than a century, where you have basically the same thing going on, politically connected cartels working through corrupt governments, federal, state, and local, trying to run small ranchers off of the land that they didn't have any right to, that is to say that the cartel didn't have any right to, and then demonizing the ranchers in the public mind as if they were terrorists and reprobates and renegades. It's the same type of thing from the same playbook. Now, the Johnson County War turned out to be a rather tragic affair. There were a handful of lives lost, each of them irreplaceable. So far, we haven't seen that happen in what we might call the Clark County Range War. But I honestly think when they're talking about putting task forces together and describing these people as domestic terrorists and even insinuating that the children might be combatants, the stage is being set for something genuinely awful.
Well, the thing is that why don't, and this is the thing we have to keep emphasizing, why don't they simply get a legitimate warrant and go out and arrest him? Why don't they do that? Because they want this whole thing as an episode. They want this is all engineered. And until people understand that this is an engineered incident, it really doesn't make sense.
Yes,
Well, before we go on, William, I want you to suddenly tell our listeners about your ministry, how they can suddenly get your books, how they can get your articles, how they can suddenly listen to your radio programs, how they can suddenly get to your PayPal button. Of course, they can read your articles every month. William writes the Radio Liberty newsletter. But go right ahead. Just tell people about your ministry and how they can help if they'd like.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that. My chief outlet is the Pro Libertate blog. freedominourtime.blogspot.com is the direct address. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Or go to Google and type in my name, William N. Grigg. That should be the first return. I post there once or twice a week as my situation will permit. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, there is a PayPal button there at the right-hand margin and at the bottom of every essay. And we also accept Bitcoin. LewRockwell.com, LewRockwell.com is the website that republishes a lot of what I publish at Pro Libertate. I also contribute to the blog at LewRockwell.com. My radio program is titled Freedom Zealot Radio. And it's broadcast every Saturday evening at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, at LibertyRoundtable.com. There is a Listen Live Now button in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page. My YouTube account is the Freedom Zealot channel, and a lot of what I produce, my talk radio show, some other things, ends up at the Freedom Zealot channel on YouTube. I'm on Facebook, William N. Grigg. I'm on Twitter, Blarney, at Blarney Concarney is my Twitter handle. There's a story behind that we don't have time or perhaps interest to get into. But once again, my chief outlet is the Pro Libertate blog, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, Pro Libertate. And the PayPal button is found at the bottom of every essay and at the right-hand margin of the page.
All right, fine. We've got somebody calling in quickly. And Sydney, is Bruce calling from Spokane. What was your question, Bruce?
Yes, I'd like to know if Will Grigg met our state representative, Matt Shea, while he went down there. He's starting the Coalition of Western States. It shows the massive land grab that there is, or that the feds have.
Okay, we're running out of time. William, did you run into this fellow? Do you know who he is?
Yes, I do. Pat Shea is a wonderful legislator. He's been a very good friend and ally to one of my good friends here, former Representative Hart from Northern Idaho. I didn't have the chance to encounter him down in Bunkerville. I arrived just after he had left, and I am aware of the fact that he's putting together that coalition, and I consider that to be a very heartening development.
Okay, Bruce, does that answer your question? Okay, we lost Bruce. So anyway, our guest this evening has been William Grigg. I want you to take very seriously what he's saying. Remember, this whole thing is manufactured. They want an incident. They want a violent incident. And let's hope it doesn't occur.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927.
That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed the program there with William Grigg. And basically, it's vitally important that you understand that, as we pointed out, that there is a group who really keeps, really doesn't care about human life. They're quite willing to kill large numbers of people, as they did with the Indians. How can you correlate suddenly what happened to the Indians with a Christian nation? And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that when America was formed, suddenly back in the 1780s, there were two groups here. One was the Christian groups, believing very, very faithfully in our Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to create a Christian nation, not necessarily something where everybody had to be a Christian, but where the majority of the people were moral and religious. And as John Adams has said, our form of government was made for moral and religious people. It wouldn't work for any other. And that's true. You have to have a moral people if you're going to have limited government. Well, we no longer have a moral people, and this is why we're, of course, getting more and more terrible tragedies and suicides and homicides. But you must understand at the same time when America was founded, there was also an occult group here. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. There was a small, well-organized, well-financed, demonic group, truly demonic. And their job was not to create a Christian republic. Their job was to actually use the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. That's what it was all about. And that is why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world today, between 800 and 1,000 foreign military bases, where we put out 40% of all the money in the entire world that's put about the United States for our military. We're not defending America. We're bringing about a world totalitarian government where they intend to kill off most of the people in the coming war. And this is not imaginary. It's very real. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness. And we have several other books, certainly. One by James Perloff. And you can get his Shadows of Power. He wrote this many years ago, but he covers this very, very well. You can get my book and James Perloff's Shadows of Power, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, James' book, The Shadows of Power, by calling 1-800-544-8927. Ted Flynn's written a wonderful book as well, and they're all available, so you need them. You need to read them, and then you need to start telling people what's going on, because we truly have demonic forces at the highest levels of our government. And if you doubt that for 1 minute, go to trilateral.org on the Internet. Trilateral.org, that's the Trilateral Commission's website, and they are the most powerful organization in America. Look at their logo. Three sixes bound together by an upside-down broken cross. Three sixes bound together by an upside-down broken cross. Why do you think of all the logos they could have picked? They would pick a three sixes bound together by an upside-down broken cross. Look at the back of the dollar bill. Look at the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. Go to Washington, D.C., or better still, get the secret Architecture by Nation's Capital. It's a DVD we carry. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. The Secret Architecture by Nation's Capital. You need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out so people will understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And unless we can awaken the American people, unless there are enough people who care, we're going to lose America. We're going to be moving into a horrible period. There's going to be mass slaughter in America. And everything you have and you think that will give you security is going to be lost. And so our plea to you is, of course, Cindy, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, for because we're involved in the spiritual battle, for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please, our number 1-800-544-8927 until Monday. May the Lord be with you.